would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape.
Old. We are talking about a 3-year-old. And she was screaming and gasping for breath.
This is the Quality News Network. Dean has been downgraded from a Category 5 to a Category 3 hurricane after it smashed into the coasts of Mexico and Belize this morning, raging with winds exceeding 165 miles per hour. It was the fiercest Category 5 storm to make landfall since Hurricane Andrew in 1992. In Ottawa, Canada's Prime Minister, Mexico's President, and President Bush have agreed to design a mutual strategy safeguarding borders in the event of an emergency like a terrorist attack or outbreak of the avian flu. The plan would aim to provide border security without disrupting commerce. In Baghdad today, 15 former officials from the Saddam Hussein regime go on trial for crimes against humanity. The men are accused of massacring as many as 100,000 Shiites during a 1991 uprising. In Fort Meade, Maryland, two of the most serious charges have been dropped against the only officer brought to trial in the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal. That after an investigator admitted he had failed to read the Army Reservist Lieutenant Colonel his rights before questioning. A National Guard helicopter crashed last night in western Utah, killing two. The cause of the crash is under investigation. In Minneapolis, a 13th body has been recovered from the Mississippi River. Authorities say the remains belong to the last person listed as missing from the collapse of the Twin Cities Bridge earlier this month. Continued rain in Missouri, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma is adding to the flooding and landslides that have already claimed at least 20 lives. Damages are estimated in the millions. Reuters reports the number two man at the Pentagon has produced a memo establishing 25 goals to be accomplished before the end of the Bush administration. Included in the list is the expansion of elite military forces and a new strategy for detaining terrorism suspects. The New York Times reports the White House has enacted strict new rules, making it tougher for states to expand health coverage for children from middle-income families. Administration officials say the new regulations ensure low-income children will not be shortchanged and the program not replace private health insurance policies. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Egyptian authorities say it may be the most important archaeological discovery ever made in their country, what appears to be the world's oldest footprint. Made as many as 2 million years ago, the mud print hardened into rock was found in a western desert. Walmart has halted sales of 2 Chinese-produced dog treats, even though an official recall has not been announced yet. Customers have complained that 2 brands of chicken jerky have made their pets ill. Leading economic indicators grew 0.4% in July. Analysts say it appears growth will continue during the rest of the year, albeit at a slow pace. Samsung Electronics announced it expects quarterly operating profit to at least double, maybe even triple. The South Korean company credited strong growth in memory chip sales. More than 400 oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico have been shut down ahead of Hurricane Dean. Mexican oil company Pemex says that means a daily loss of 2.7 million barrels of oil and 2.6 billion cubic feet of natural gas. Light sweet crude is trading at $70.82 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 44 points. Both the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are down 5. Gold trading at $667.50 an ounce. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
In politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Dean this morning battered Jamaica, blowing down buildings, flooding communities, ripping away power lines. The first hurricane of the Atlantic season tore into the Caribbean this weekend, killing at least 9. Forecasters say the Category 4 storm may strengthen into a Category 5 today. In Mexico, more than 90,000 tourists have been evacuated from the Cancun area. More than 13,000 workers from oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico have moved onshore. Dean should hit the Yucatan today. Rain-swollen floodwaters roared through Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oklahoma during the weekend. At least 13 people died. Hundreds were evacuated. Damages are in the millions. At the Crandall Canyon mine in Utah, officials say the 6 coal miners trapped for 2 weeks in a cave-in are likely dead and may never be recovered. All signs indicate no one survived the mine collapse. Last week, 3 rescuers were killed and another 6 injured while trying to reach the men inside. Sunday in central China, rescuers began pumping water out of a collapsed coal mine. 181 miners were trapped inside when it caved in Friday. A Taiwanese China Air jetliner exploded in flames on the Okinawa Airport runway today. All 165 aboard escaped uninjured. In Kabul, Afghan police today rescued a German humanitarian aid worker kidnapped Saturday afternoon from a restaurant. In southern Iraq, a roadside bomb this morning killed the provincial governor. Mohammed Ali al-Hassani was a leading member of the parliament's largest Shiite political party. In Fort Meade, Maryland, the only officer charged in the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal faces court-martial today. Army Reservist Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Jordan could be sentenced to more than 16 years in prison. In Minneapolis, another body was recovered Sunday from the Twin Cities bridge that collapsed earlier this month. The death toll now stands at 12. And in Blacksburg, Virginia, carbon monoxide leaked into an off-campus apartment complex yesterday, sending 19 Virginia Tech students to hospitals. 2 are in critical condition. Gold is trading at $666.30 an ounce. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Not that long ago, 3 bears were discussing how difficult it is to get a good night's sleep. What you sleep on is paramount to any sleep success. Papa Bear complained about how he was tired after tossing and turning all night. Mama Bear complained about sinking into each other like sleeping in a hammock.
You can't even turn the mattress over to use the other side.
Then Zizi the Panda told them about his perfect night's sleep on his Monterey mattress. It has much higher quality padding to prevent the hammock syndrome and has 2 great sides for twice the mattress life.
You know, panda bears are really smart. Hi, this is Brian Gingrich. At Monterey Mattress, our family has been building the finest latex, foam, and innerspring mattresses for over 20 years. We supply most of the leading resorts on the Monterey Peninsula. With such high standards of quality, customers purchase their mattresses here at factory prices and then ship to their homes across the nation. Discover the difference a Monterey Mattress can make in your life. Come see us at our factory showroom in Sand City or online at MontereyMattress.com.
The Space Shuttle Endeavour is on its way back to Earth, scheduled to land tomorrow. NASA ordered the shuttle to return a day early as a precaution in the unlikely event Hurricane Dean affects Cape Canaveral. Control over the oil-rich Arctic Northwest Passage is on the agenda today when Canada's Prime Minister and Mexico's President meets with President Bush. Melting ice mass from climate change has made oil and gas recovery in the Arctic more attractive to Canada, the U.S., and Russia. 75% of union members at auto parts supplier Delphi ratified a new four-year contract this weekend. GM's former parts division Delphi is struggling to emerge from bankruptcy. The nation's second-largest home improvement retailer beat Wall Street expectations today by posting a 9% increase in quarterly profit on earnings of $1.02 billion. Shares of Lowe's jumped 4% in pre-market trading. Light sweet crude is trading at $70.75 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 72 points, the NASDAQ up 8, the S&P 500 is up 3. Silver is trading at $11.87 an ounce. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, time to wake the hell up. It's Monday. It's a new week. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Move it, move it. You got to get moving. It's a new week. It's got, you got things to do. You got people to do, things to see. How's everybody doing? I hope you all had a good weekend, and it's good to be back. I didn't work on Friday. I didn't work here on Friday because I had, and this is just typical of my work. They have, you have a situation where everybody, there's no work practically in the middle of the week, and I had like, I was real, having a real bad week. Where I was being called in and then being founding out that there's very little work, if any work. And then they all, you know, they dump a whole bunch of stuff on us on Friday. But the problem I had on Thursday night slash Friday, because I work, you have to, when I work 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., it's Monday through Friday. That is when I get off, when my last work week is not, work day is not Thursday at 11 and I get off Friday. No, I get off, at Friday. At 11 p.m., and then I get off Saturday morning is when I get off. So it's a, it can be a little confusing when you work third shift sometime about whether you start Sunday late or Monday late. At any rate, but on Thursday, I get called in, and I notice there's only like one box there. And I'm like, you know, this is not going to keep me busy. And my problem is where I live up here by Devon, by Western, in the northwest part of Chicago, and I work downtown, you understand, where I live is a long way down. I take the bus down. It takes me about an hour and a half to get down there, depending on how long I have to wait for the buses, you know, because they don't follow. The schedule, of course, is merely a suggestion. And if I don't leave by, like, if I have to leave early, I have to leave it around midnight, which is only, like, 1 hour's work, because the buses where that take me to where I need to go here just simply don't run that late. Okay? And therefore, you know, it's very important if they're going to have work for me that there's enough work for me to last until around 4:30, 5 o'clock, which is when the earlier buses start. So, you know, I said, look, you know, if you're going to schedule me to work, at least make sure there's enough work for me. And what happened was, this one box, they were waiting on a couple other boxes that the people in the copy area were working on. And when they finish it, then I can scan them. But I had to wait around all that time. And then, you know, and it, because it was a job that was due like real early in the morning, as soon as they finished, I had to get work on it. But the problem is they weren't finished till like 6, 7 o'clock, so I had to stay a little later in order to get that done, and I wound up missing the show. I wound up missing the show, which did not make me very happy, because I didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, people say, well, you got paid for doing nothing. People, I hate to be inactive. Even when I'm inactive, I'm active. You see what I'm saying? I'm either reading a site, or I'm writing something, or I'm writing an email, or I'm doing something. I can't just kind of sit and sloth around. It's just not in me. Every now and then, I'll click on YouTube and I'll watch a few videos on YouTube and all that stuff. But for the most part, I don't like to be inactive. Even when I'm goofing off, I'm working. I'm doing something. Okay. But regardless of that, and I hate missing shows, but you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This is not what I do for a living. Not yet. We're hopeful that will change in the future. We'll see. We're not placing any bets on it. But when that happens, then I can be much more focused on this. In the meantime, I got a day job, and I got to deal with that. That's the long and short of it. So when, you know, for those of you who haven't heard me before, when I say I'm the voice of the working man's thinking man, I am a working man. Okay, hang on a second, I dropped something. Getting it, hang on. I dropped something on the floor and I just can't rest until I pick it up. I'm a picky little bastard that way. But I did have a good weekend. On Saturday, I saw, and it's right down it was right down my block here, right down Devon Avenue. They had the parade celebrating the 60th anniversary of India and Pakistan's independence from Great Britain. Where I live up here in the what we call Little Bombay here in Chicago, there are a lot of people from India. There are a lot of people from Pakistan. It's a really wonderful neighborhood. It actually reminds me very much of my old neighborhood from Brooklyn, except that, you know, we were Italians as opposed to, you know, mainly Italians and Puerto Ricans as opposed to Indians and Pakistanis. But the basic is the same. You have a lot of street crowd, a lot of street noise. You have a lot of little shops, mostly selling the same stuff at the same price. If you love Indian food, there's some wonderful Indian restaurants around here. So, you know, it can be a really nice neighborhood to live in. And despite the fact that it can be a little messy sometimes, I really, really kind of enjoy it. But at any rate, they had this big parade, and it was a nice parade. It wasn't particularly long, but it was made longer by the fact that, and I'm saying this with love because I really do like these people. They're very nice people. But let's face it, they simply do not know how to drive. Okay, they simply don't know how to drive. We had, you know, two or three of the floats were double parked, letting people on and letting people off. And, you know, the floats behind them were honking their horns, the guys yelling out the window. And two of them tried to turn right, turn north on Rockwell, but it's a south going street, it's one way. So they had to try to back up and then turn back around and get moving again. And they're not even supposed to turn anyway. I don't know why they were trying to make a turn. They're just supposed to go down Devon, for crying out loud. So that blocked traffic, and there was more yelling. So it took a little longer. We saw some interesting floats. It was my roommate and I. We went out, and, you know, it's like a 20-yard walk to the street corner there. And we saw some interesting floats. There was the I'm an old man and I need to sit down float. That one was very interesting. It was just a guy sitting, an old guy sitting there eating some peanuts on the float. Just, hey, old lady, to sit down. Hey, how are you? There was the retired terrorist float. That was a good one, except, you know, there aren't very many of those. Most of them, you know, they're suicide bombers. So they basically did not a lot of them make it. And they were generally reviled because, you know, they didn't do their job. They're still there. But they pay him a retirement benefit. Why? I don't know. And there was one float, actually, that was full of a bunch of protesters who had staged a sit-in, but the problem is they didn't realize that they had staged a sit-in on a float that was going in a parade. So they're kind of stuck there. And they want to get off, but, you know, it's moving, and they could scrape their knee or something. But all in all, it was a very interesting parade. None of that stuff really happened. I'm just making that up, you realize. It was a very interesting little parade, and congratulations to India and Pakistan on 70 years of independence from Great Britain. India in particular has come a long way. Has come a long way. And I'm very happy to have witnessed that parade. Again, it's a really, really nice neighborhood. I don't want to get down on the driving aspect too much. It is crazy up here for traffic, especially on the weekends when everybody wants to go over to the restaurants. It's impossible to park anywhere. I knew there was something up with it when they started putting all these things on the parking meters along the street saying, you know, no parking, you know, this date. And I wasn't sure what was going on. I found out later on. And then they started putting up barricades along the sides, and I'm thinking, And really, to be perfectly honest, along Devon Avenue in some areas, they simply should not allow parking at all because the traffic is just unbelievable. Well, the problem is there's no place to park. And we got and Chicago is not so it's not bad for driving. Chicago's not a bad city to drive in. It's not like New York. It's not even as bad as Atlanta in some place. The problem with Chicago is parking. My God, it's impossible to find any place to park around here. Unless you live in a house that has a garage. The apartment I live in, they have, you know, two garages that come with the place. And that's basically the only way you can deal with it. You have parking stickers you can buy and you can purchase that give you permission to park. But even finding a parking space sometimes can just be hazardous. So, but then yesterday, it was a big surprise. My roommate got some Cubs tickets. So he went down to the Cubs game, which turned out to be rained out. But, you know, Wrigley Field is such a beautiful, beautiful place. It was worth it just to sit there and watch three innings of ball, even though the game got canceled. It was a big game, too, the Cubs and the Cardinals. For those of you who are not baseball fans, the Chicago Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals are a huge, huge rivalry going back, God, a century. It's remarkable, isn't it? Because both these teams has been around for that long. Some of the two of the older teams, and Wrigley Field if baseball's a religion, there are two high churches, and one is Fenway Park in Boston, and the other one is right here in Chicago, Wrigley Field. Beautiful, beautiful stadium with the ivy-covered walls. Hey, it's quarter after. Let's take a break. I got some really interesting stuff to talk about. If you want to call in, give me a call. Talk to me about whatever. 304-658-5453, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or a printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker and anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the numbers to call in. If you want to call in, talk to me about any subject. I'm always open to talk about anything. This is Conversation Radio, ladies and gentlemen, and I have so few conversations on the show because it's so early and nobody's up yet. Why aren't you up yet? Why aren't you like your brother who's out there on the street looking for work all the time? Why aren't you like him? Why can't you be more like him? The number to call in, if you do want to call in, is 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. If you've got free cell phone minutes, use them. Use them to talk to me. You'll never call. You'll never talk to me. Why never? Every day I sit around here waiting for you to call, and you never call. What's wrong with you? The toll-free number, if you want to call the toll-free, is 877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we can do that. Well, you know, hell, let's get right to the phones. Let's get to our good friend Kevin from D.C. Hi, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I just came back from my hometown and your hometown in Brooklyn.
What's going on in Brooklyn?
Huh?
What's going on in Brooklyn?
Oh, a lot of good things. You know, this time of year, it's always been like my favorite time of the year because it's leading up to the West Indian Day Parade, you know, the fall season and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to, you know, bring to attention, you know, for me, the West Indian Day Parade is a special time because it's a combination of celebrating my heritage. It's also a Labor Day parade because it occurs on Labor Day, and a lot of these islands' independence movement came out of the labor movement of working people.
I didn't know that.
And so for me, it's like a double entendre, you can say. You know.
Double entendre, okay.
Yeah, if there's such a thing, you know, if I'm using that word correctly.
Oh, you know, right. you maybe not. I'm not sure how it's supposed to be. I think a double entendre.
Yeah,
or
it's
two meanings.
A double play for me. How about we
use double play.
Baseball terms? You know.
Well, that's not a good thing. You don't want to hit into a double play, man. That's not a good thing. You don't want to hit into a double play. That's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
A double play is a...
If you score a double on them one hit,
yeah, but you said
thing?
A double play. A double play is two outs on one hit.
Oh. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm nitpicky. What can I say?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But, you know, I just want to touch base and, you know, say, you know, give a shout out and just say, you know, Brooklyn is becoming more and more of a wonderful place to live. And
well, you know,
families, believe it or not.
They're building some fairly tall buildings now in Brooklyn, aren't they? I've been reading about some plans they have to build, like, an actual skyline of sorts there, which is really kind of amazing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's still very much a progressive, you know, place to be. You know, it's, you know, don't forget Brooklyn, the County of Kings, like I like to say it, has the largest hardcore Democrat registration in the country.
Oh, really?
Over 2 million strong.
Cool. Yeah, and, you know, we're pretty progressive here in Chicago, too, so, yeah, I definitely identify. So.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn, you know... Brooklyn was such a wonderful place, but it was getting really bad in the mid late 70s. Unfortunately, it did manage to get better later on. But you know, Brooklyn is basically like the suburbs for Manhattan. You know, it's mostly residential. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx. You know, those are basically the residential. And Brooklyn used to be, of course, its own city until it was annexed by New York.
Yeah, the mistake of 98.
1898.
Yeah. You know, I'm just, you know, I figure fellow Brooklyn and I, we can discuss some of our heritage together.
Well, you know, Brooklyn goes back along. Some of the most important battles of the American Revolutionary War were fought in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. Battle of Brooklyn Heights.
Yep. Those were very, very important.
We lost it all right there.
Yep.
And in Fort Greene, that little hill up in Fort Greene, you know, it's a burial mound.
Mm-hmm.
Where they dumped the bodies of all the soldiers and all that, and that mountain came out of a result of all the bodies piled up.
Yeah, my dad used to talk to me about stuff like that. It's just amazing. You don't.
Haunted.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. A couple of Barrow Whites hanging out around there. I saw a Hobbit hanging around. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry today. I have really nothing controversial or any anger. But, you know,
then you can't be on the show then. No, I'm kidding.
you know, you just got to get a rest from the bush fatigue. And for me, that was doing a weekend in my hometown.
Oh, no, I hear you. You know, dude, every you know, I listen to QNN when, before I come on the show, and everything is just so depressing. You know, bridges falling in Minnesota and potholes and steam pipes blowing up in New York and of course, Iraq, and just all the evil, evil stuff going on that we can't seem to be able to do anything about. I mean, it is so depressing, and you just want to get away from it for a while. I hear you. I hear you completely.
Yeah, and, you know, next week again, I'm going to, you know, get with my wife, my lovely wife, and see her down in Florida. So, you know, I have a lot looking forward to it. And, you know, it's again, you know, I just today wanted to put a spin on things and get away from the politics and just talk about positive things.
Well, yeah, sure. You know, and I miss Brooklyn, but you know, I love Chicago. I love this town. I love this neighborhood, and it does remind me a lot of what used to go on in Brooklyn. Like I said, because
you know, one day I'll probably end up out there because I'm on the road a lot with my new job.
Uh-huh.
And Chicago's where one of my bosses tend to live. Chicago's where is home base for one of my bosses. That's where she does most of her work. So I may head out there one day, and I'm going to explore it. You know,
well, when you do, you let me know, and I will make sure I will take you to Wolfie's, or I'll take you to a couple other Chicago famous spots, so you can really enjoy the city. It's a wonderful, wonderful city. It's not New York, but it's Chicago. You know, it's got its own history, it's got its own culture, it's everything.
All right, Joe. Anyway, I just wanted to touch base and, you know, give you a shout out and say hello. Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Kevin.
Our good friend,
Kevin from D.C. And I'm really glad he called, and I like him. He's a nice guy. Listen, Agnes, it's a little early. Agnes and Cade, by the way, doing a lovely job producing the show. Let's take a little bit of an early break. Let's go to the Winds News. When I come back, I've got some stuff to talk about from Iraq when we were talking about that. We'll be back with more. Hey, it's a Puffy AmiYumi break. We'll be back with more with the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Hope is waning at a collapsed mine in Utah after the most recent hole drilled found the air quality unable to sustain life. Until Sunday, mine rescue workers had kept an optimistic tone. The situation at the mine went from bad to worse Thursday evening, as was being described as a seismic bump caused a further collapse as rescue workers sought out the original six miners. Three workers were killed in that Thursday collapse, and five others were injured. After more than a week, there is no indication that the six trapped miners are still alive. The Deutsche Bank skyscraper has sat vacant since the terrorist attacks on September 11th. In a grim reminder of that tragic day, two firefighters were killed fighting a blaze on Saturday. On September 11th, pieces of the World Trade Center fell upon the Deutsche Bank skyscraper and left it unstable. The building is in the process of being dismantled, so it does not have a working water source for firefighters to use. That caused problems for the hundreds of firefighters who worked for 7 hours to extinguish the blaze which started on the 17th floor. If you're on Medicare, your hospital is going to have to try harder to not make a mistake. New rules this month will stop Medicare from paying for mistakes made by hospitals, including objects left in patients during surgery, falls at the hospital, infections caused after heart surgery or catheters, or bed sores and pressure ulcers. The hospitals will now have to pick up the costs of in-house complications, and they cannot bill the patients. The move is being taken to reduce costs on taxpayers and improve hospital service quality. In Washington State on Thursday, labor leaders vowed to continue pushing a Walmart bill. The bill is intended to force employers to pay the state when workers use state-subsidized health care. A recent report showed that 3,000 of Walmart's 16,000 Washington State employees are on Medicaid or the state's health care plan. On Friday, the United Steelworkers reached a tentative agreement with Delphi. Details on the agreement were not released to the public as members vote on approval. USW represents 900 workers in Ohio. healthcare workers in Connecticut went back to work on Sunday after a short strike against Sunrise Northeast. The picket lines went up on Friday. Represented by the Service Employees International Union, no deals were reached during the strike. Sunrise Northeast provides services for the Connecticut Department of Mental Retardation. 23 homes were picketed this weekend, and discussions are expected to continue starting today. It was a rough week for Wall Street, and there was little good news in other economic indicators. Construction of new homes dropped to the lowest rate in 10 years for the month of July, and a drop in building permit applications suggests the trend will not reverse anytime soon. Meanwhile, jobless claims rose to their highest rate in 8 weeks. 322,000 Americans filed for unemployment during the week ending August 11th, 12,000 more than economists had predicted.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Thanks again to my good friend Kevin from D.C. for calling in. It's always really good to talk to him. There was an article in the New York Times over the weekend, an op-ed, called The War as We Saw It, and it was by several soldiers of the 82nd Airborne who are fighting in Iraq right now. The 82nd Airborne, for those of you who are not aware, are an elite group of fighting force from the U.S. Army, Special Forces, and they've been fabled in song and story going back since before World War II. They were an airborne division, so it would basically be one airplane. But they're a very famous group. And basically, they were writing an article about Iraq as they see it every day, because you had that one guy go to Iraq and say, "See, everything is wonderful, everything is beautiful. I saw that, there's a wonderful part, that wonderful glory, the school's being built," and these guys are basically and in very nice language. I mean, they're soldiers, and they're writing very well, and they're writing very respectfully about what's going on, and they're not being shrill like some of us are, because I can afford to be shrill because I'm just a guy, a guy with a mic. But these guys got to be careful. But I want to read a couple of quick paragraphs here about what they wrote, and just to let people have a small idea of what's going on. Now, I'm a veteran, but I'm not a combat veteran. I never saw any combat in my life. I want to make that clear, so it's not like I'm, all blood and guts and glory and stuff like that. But I am a veteran, so I kind of understand to a certain extent what these guys have been going through. And it's been very tough. So let me read what they had to say. They said, starting quote, "The claim that we are increasingly in control of the battlefields in Iraq is an assessment arrived at through a flawed American-centered framework. Yes, we're militarily superior, but our successes are offset by failures elsewhere. What soldiers call the battle space remains the same, with changes only at the margins. It's crowded with actors who do not fit neatly into boxes: Sunni extremists, Al-Qaeda terrorists, Shiite militiamen, criminals, and armed tribes. This situation is made more complex by the questionable loyalties and genus-faced role of the Iraqi police and Iraqi army, which have been trained and armed at United States taxpayers' expense. A few nights ago, for example, we witnessed the death of one American soldier and the critical wounding of two others when a lethal armor-piercing explosive was detonated between an Iraqi army checkpoint and a police one. Local Iraqis readily testified to American investigators that Iraqi police and army officers escorted the triggerman and helped plant the bomb. These civilians highlighted their own predicament. Had they informed the Americans of the bomb before the incident, the Iraqi army, the police, or the local Shiite militia would have killed their families. As many grunts will tell you, this is a near routine event. Reports that a majority of Iraqi army commanders are now reliable partners can be considered only misleading rhetoric. The truth is that battalion commanders, even if well-meaning, have little or no influence over the thousands of obstinate men under them in an incoherent chain of command who were really loyal only to their militias. Unquote. Now, people like us, you know, we sit here and we talk about it. These people are living this every day. And they talk about, you know, the right wing, they love to talk about, you know, supporting the troops. And I'll say this very bluntly. Republicans hate soldiers. Republicans absolutely hate soldiers. They hate everything that has to do with actual soldiering. They love using them as photo ops. They love using them to make themselves look good. But they hate the soldiers themselves. And we know this because of the way they treat the soldiers. We know this because when it comes down to the money that's involved, the money rarely trickles down to where the soldiers need it. Not for the armor they need, not for the weapons they need. It goes to big politically connected firms like Halliburton and Bechtel, its subsidiary, and other organizations who have friends in high places, who basically built the government for billions of dollars, our taxpayer money, and put it in their pockets. I had to deal with this, you know, in a much smaller way when I was in the Air Force. Just the whole supply system, the way it was set up. And I got to tell you, it can be very frustrating to have leaders out there talk war, 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 kill, 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 but they're not the ones who go out there and fight. I've spoken from time to time about how the Romans were and how the Romans basically just conquered other people and stole their money, but for the most part, the generals are out there with the troops. Julius Caesar, you know, as evil a son of a bitch as he might have been, he was at least out there with the troops fighting. And, of course, the big problem was that the soldiers under his command were more loyal to him than they were loyal to the Republic, and that's what eventually doomed Rome. Now, these soldiers who wrote this article, I have a great deal of respect for them because they obviously understand what's going on, and they're obviously loyal to their country. And, in fact, at their last sentence, they were soldiers and we're going to continue to do our duty the best we can, or it's words to that effect. And I admire them, and I respect them for that. But my idea of supporting the troops is never putting them in a situation like that to begin with. And I was reading Doonesbury on Sunday, and Doonesbury is one of those comic strips that's been around for quite a while. It's been around for over 40 years, I believe. And it's remarkable how Mr. Trudeau, in fact, the comic strip is better now than it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago. It's just remarkable. And the one character, BD, who was very much a strong military supporter, who lost a limb in Iraq, was being asked by the local reverend about whether he thought the war was lost. And he said, yeah, I think the war is lost. And the reverend says, well, if you were doubting the mission, you know, then he said, well, I don't doubt the mission. I'm saying the war is lost. And therein lies the crux of it. Because the problem lay in the mission. The mission was wrong. And not only was the mission wrong, it was also wrong for people, especially people like the college Republicans or the young Republicans, people I have nothing but utter contempt for, the people who, if we have a draft, should be the first to be drafted, the people who scream, war, 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 so long as somebody else goes and fights it. These are the people that ought to be experiencing this and seeing this. I think about that kid I met in the chat room who talked about how badly he wanted to go to Iraq and legally kill somebody before the war is over. And I'm imagining what he would do in a situation that these soldiers are in. And as I've said before, what if his first kill is a little five-year-old girl who didn't understand to stop when she was told to stop? And you're faced with the choice of maybe is she wearing a bomb? I don't know if the Iraqis are doing that much. I know the Japanese used to do that in World War II. I know the Vietnamese did that during the Vietnamese War. So what do you do as a soldier? Do you shoot a little kid? Or do you risk your own life? It's easy to be gung-ho when you're sitting at home, relaxing, and your combined effort, war effort, is attacking people like myself. But it's another thing when you have to actually go and do the fighting yourself, and they don't want to do that because they don't believe in America. They only believe in themselves. And what I mean by that is that they're just a bunch of selfish little bastards. And I'm totally in favor. We have to institute a draft. Actually, I think we should institute a draft, but I think we should pretty much limit it to those guys. If you supported the war and you're of age, here's a gun, go and fight. And I guarantee you, when you get into a combat, if you're one of those guys like my friend from the chat room who's all gung-ho, let's kill, 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 the commanders will do everything they can to keep you the hell away from the battlefront because that's dangerous. That's dangerous to your buddies. That's dangerous to everybody. And I bet you, if you took these young Republicans and actually put them in the situation that they talk about, they would just wet their pants because they couldn't handle it. Because they don't believe in the things they say they believe in. What they believe in is we want everything for us. Now me, I hope to God I never see combat. I mean, you know, I'm too old for it now, but you know, and I'm very glad that when I was in the service that I never got to see combat. I don't want to go through that experience. As far as I'm concerned, when you're actually going to war, it means it's been a failure in other ways. Failures in diplomacy, failures in just the whole global society. To prevent this sort of thing, it should never happen. You should be prepared for it if it does happen, and if you need to defend yourself, you should do whatever you need to do to win. If you defend yourself, self defense is the only justification for it. But this is not a war of self defense. This is a war of conquest. I don't know what the real reasons are. I'm not going to pretend to know what the real reasons are for the war. Was it just to steal the oil? Was it because of this big PNAC project to turn the Middle East into a flowering democracy, and about how Mr. Bush will be vindicated later when all this stuff has gone on, blah, 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 blah. It's a bunch of crap. The mission is wrong. Now, I got a buddy, my friend Bruce Lewis, a.k.a. Plymouth Belvedere, who posted under that name on my blog. He doesn't care if his real name is not. He just uses that for fun. He talks about the return of a Holy Roman Empire and how, you know, only through, you know, grace with God can you know, this world totally have peace and all that stuff. And it's a bunch of crap, but at least I understand where he's coming from to a certain extent. But he is one of those people who believes that, you know, it's a big war between us and the Islamo-fascist or whatever he wants to call them. And he's just wrong. The Islamofascists, what the really crazy ones out there, the ones who really do want to kill us, the ones who do want to fly airplanes into buildings, they can be very easily contained. Just takes a little infiltration, little intelligence. 9/11 could have very easily been prevented if we had a president that didn't, upon receiving a memo that said Bin Laden determined to attack U.S., go on vacation. Could have been prevented. There are better ways of doing these things. And in doing what we've done, we've destroyed a great nation. We've destroyed ourselves. And let me tell you something. If this is a struggle between the West and the East, if it's a struggle to preserve Western culture, if Western culture includes things like what we've been doing in Iraq, like Abu Ghraib, like what's been going on in this country, then Western culture doesn't deserve to survive. if this is what it means to be a superpower, we don't deserve to be a superpower. America won World War II through military might, and they won the war that way, but they won the peace because they understood that you have to help your enemies. You have to be part of a better, bigger community. And we tried to build that. If we failed, it's because we weren't ruthless enough against the warmongers when we needed to be. We were afraid to attack Joe McCarthy until a lot of his message got out. We were afraid of losing whatever losing meant in Vietnam, so we just escalated and sent more and more people to die. And when we eventually lost, we went a little crazy about it. Some people did because, you know, they blamed the wrong people for it. Instead of blaming the ones that perpetrated the war, they blamed the ones that were against it to begin with, as if it was some sort of triumph of the will. And they're doing the same thing now. We didn't learn any lessons from Vietnam. The Vietnamese didn't follow us once we left. There was no Vietnamese invasion of the West Coast or Hawaii or anything like that. It didn't happen. And just so much that if we leave now in Iraq, the Iraqis are not going to follow us. There's better ways of dealing with terrorism. And what we've been doing is terrorism. But you know what? It's backfiring on us. Because it's wrong. Because the mission was wrong. Because it's morally wrong to go into a country and just kill people just because you can. The mission's wrong. Let's take our last break. Last chance to call in if you want to call in. 304-658-5453. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe Radio Show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe Show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com. That's C-U-P-J-O-E.com to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, C-U-P-J-O-E.com, and let Internet Radio Ads work for you.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Very nice and mellow. I don't know. That's not the kind of music you wake up to, but I love it. Bette Davis. I love that song. And I like the fact that I got a really nice karaoke version of that. To continue on in a roundabout way with what I was talking about, And this is the thing I talk about, and this is to me why the Head On Radio Network is so important. And by the way, if you want to buy an advertisement on the show, they're damn cheap. They're damn cheap. But this is why the Head On Radio Network is so important, and why if we had a big media infrastructure like the Republicans did, we could have a much bigger effect. We already have a substantial effect. On politics to begin with. The blogosphere was very much responsible for, revealing the attorney firings, the firings by the attorney general. It's been responsible for helping out Democrats when we were in Congress, and that's all fine and good. But the problem is, we win these battles, but we lose the. Still have the power of the radio. They still have the power to get into people's workplaces and people's cars every single day, day in and day out, and put on the propaganda. As Mr. Bush put it one time, catapulting the propaganda. We can't do that. This article by the soldiers in Iraq will quickly get lost and quickly get forgotten because we don't have on the left a medium for doing that. And therein lies the problem, because this should be talked about constantly. This should be people listening in at work, talking about this daily, making a buzz, creating a stir, and generating some real activity. That's what we should be doing. But because we don't fund that, because the left is really more concerned with taking money from us and then turning around and giving it to television stations to pay for political ads, as opposed to saying, hey, here's a group of people who put together a radio network. Let's help support them. Let's get them started until they're self-supporting with advertising dollars so that they can catapult the propaganda. And what we do isn't propaganda. That's the big difference between us and them. We don't have to lie. We don't have to go out there and fib to people and make stuff up. Everything, as I've said before, time and time again, everything I say on my show, I do not say for effect. I do not say just to piss people off or to make a point. Or, well, I say it to make a point, but that's not what I'm trying to get at. The thing is, when I say it on my show, I say it because I personally believe it. I may be wrong. You may not like my opinion. But that's the way it is. And that's the way it is for every one of us here on the Head On Radio Network. And it doesn't take a lot for us to do what we do. But with the left, they just simply do not understand. And the blogosphere, as much good as they've done, they're right now at a point of being very self-congratulatory. Carol Kane from MakeThemAccountable.com made that clear, and I agree with her. As much as I like the things that they have done, the truth of the matter is they could be doing a lot more. And there are people out there who have the funds to start. Because you know something? All we really need is enough money to build something up, and then we can sell the advertisements, we can hire the advertising people, and we can sell the ads, and we can become self-supporting. Even in this atmosphere of fear. Because the truth of the matter is, people want to hear what we have to say. But they're cowed because all you hear on the radio are the Laura Ingrahams, the Rush Limbaughs, the Neil Bortzes, all of these right-wing pukes who are just spreading evil. I don't even have a better word for it. It's evil. If you define good as selflessness and evil as selfishness, that's what these people are, is evil. Because I've heard, you know, Neil Bortz in particular will go out and just say stuff just to piss people off, just to get a rise out of people. And it doesn't matter how much damage he's doing, how much ammunition he's giving to racists and bigots and just haters, people who are really haters. Because he just doesn't care. He's a BS artist. Which, like George Lakoff said, there's a difference between a liar and a BS artist. A liar understands that the truth is there and is attempting to contradict it. A BS artist is just going to say anything in order to get what they want. And in the case of, you know, guys like Bortz and Limbaugh and stuff like that, they're just saying what they want to say. I don't know if they believe it half the time. It's like I listened to Pat Robertson and I listened to Jerry Falwell when he was alive, and I wonder, do they believe any of the stuff that they say? And you wonder what's worse. Whether they do believe it or whether they don't believe it. That's what frightens me. Which is worse? But I want to have lots of people talk about this. I would love to be on a show where I'm on the air for 3 hours and I have a big audience where I can talk about this article from the New York Times and talk about, because you know, these are the soldiers that are fighting the war. These are not officers. These are specialists and sergeants and corporals. These are the people who are actually fighting the war. These are the ones who understand the day-to-day realities of what's going on, because they have to live it. They're not sitting in some think tank philosophizing about it. They're living it. They don't see the entire mission. They're just trying to stay alive and trying to make a better place for the Iraqis. Most of the soldiers are. They're very dedicated like that. Not all of them are like that. There are some that are a bunch of sadistic bastards. I've met a few of them. But they should never have been put in that position in the first place, and the only way you can stop them is if we get enough noise to prevent it from happening in the first place. And we can't do that if we're locked out of the process. And the blogosphere does some wonderful things, but you know what? For the most part, they're preaching to the choir, because the only people they're reaching are people who want to go onto the sites and read it in the first place. They're reaching the people they want to read. And the guys like Marcos Melitzis, he didn't start getting attention from Democrats until they discovered how much money he could raise for them. And where does that money go? It goes to TV ads. It goes to the so-called professional media who use it to propagandize against us.